Thank you, John, for that. Now, let us go to trending topics. So we will all together, and Joshua Byrne, our colleague indeed, sits opposite me today. Joshua, you're going to have to help me on this one, because I was challenged earlier on by MEP Maria Walsh when we were talking about fake photography and that. But Insight and Science Foundation Centre and Genesis are to scale up their bias detection partnership in Galway. What does bias detection partnership mean?
Yeah, so I suppose with this one, you're looking at, when you talk about bias detection, it's, I suppose, detecting AI, things that AI have
as artificial, have altered. Artificial information, yeah.
Yeah. So the project that they are embarking on, so it's aiming to build AI systems that are trustworthy and ethical. So they'll be adhering to transparency and accountability principles. And we talked about AI being, I suppose, ethically, ethically good the last day when we talked about the EU laws. So with this one, they have research teams that will be working with standardization bodies to influence global standards and establishing frameworks to for explainability and fairness in AI models and data sets. And I suppose it's a big positive that something like this is happening between the Insight FI Centre in Galway and Genesis, who also have a Galway office. So the project is expected to benefit the wider technology sector by improving transparency on data and models, increasing awareness of AI decision risks, and contributing to industry standards and guiding AI systems' adherence to upcoming regulations. So, I suppose preparing for regulations that are coming in as well.
Okay, well, I mean, they need to bring them in fairly hot and fairly heavy. Now, there's a company called Clan William, and they're unveiling a new app to streamline GP practices. I mean, I do know that doctors now rely on software all of the time. What's this new software like?
Yeah, so I was reading in the Irish Times this week, and Ciara O'Brien of the Irish Times wrote about it. So there's a global healthcare technology company, they're called Clan William, and they're based in Dublin. They've unveiled a new app, and it's going to help manage interactions between patients and GPs. And it's actually part of a €700,000 investment in the technology. They plan to double the investment in the coming year. And the app is called Pippo. And what the app does basically is it streamlines interactions between GPs and patients. And so basically it simplifies management of, say, like prescription requests, appointment booking, stuff like that, and patient requests. So apparently it's saving GPs up to 40 administrative hours per week. So by having a software that does the prescription requests and all that kind of stuff for you. Now, obviously, I suppose there is the worry when it comes to something like that, it has to be, you know, accurate 100% of the time.
Okay.
It's definitely a positive, and it's expected to save practices 15 to 30 minutes per prescription. Which is adding up to 40 administrative hours per week.
And do the GPs have to buy into it?
Oh, well, they don't have to. It would be a choice per practice, okay. I imagine.
Can I ask you, though, about CHIP? We're talking technical. This is Trendy Matters. This is what we're talking about here. But what are you talking about? A chip factory deal highlights subsidy war. What does that mean?
So this was a really interesting article that was in the Irish Independent this week. And the technology analysis there, Donal O'Donovan, wrote about a Taiwanese company and they're called TSMC. And they're building basically a cutting edge chip factory in Arizona in the United States. He wrote about the concerns that this is going to raise for Ireland, which, you know, it's a bit of a strange one. You think a Taiwanese company building a factory in Arizona, what effects could it have on Ireland? But he explains it quite well. So they are the biggest microchip maker in the world, and the United States are investing $6.6 billion, which is 6.1 billion euro, and this is coming as the Biden administration is also supposedly lining up a $6 billion investment in support of South Korea's Samsung to expand chip output in Texas. But anyways, how this is going to affect Ireland is that Ireland has kind of recently been missing out on chip manufacturers settling in Ireland. So with
we have the likes of Dell in Dublin, indeed, there.
Yeah,
and in Kildare, yeah.
So we do have a lot of and there's the Intel the huge Intel facilities as well, yeah. In the east of the country, but so Ireland recently missed out on an Intel plant to Germany. Ireland had hoped that they'd win the project, and they were actually going to have a site in Galway, but Germany won on an agreement that they would invest $10 billion into the facilities in Germany. Mm. So this would have been huge for Galway and the Irish economy. So,
okay, well, so we've lost out, you're saying?
Yeah, we have lost out, and we've traditionally benefited from free trade and limited government intervention and that kind of thing. So I suppose, you know, looking at our kind of low corporation tax and stuff, we have a history of big tech companies settling here and building their offices here. So it's not a good sign to see Germany taking you know, a site that could have been in Galway and could have created loads and loads of jobs for Galway. But yeah, it's a challenge for Ireland now, and we'll see, I suppose, where we go from here.
All right, Josh. Well, listen, well done. Thank you for joining us today. And again, trending topics, indeed, will be with you again next week on the programme. But thanks for popping into us today. And Joshua Byrne joining us for trending topics now. I want to go to my next guest, indeed, who joins me on the line, because I want to go to the ATU at this stage, and I want to go to George McCourt, who is joining me on the line, so he is today. And we're looking at the ATU Innovation Hub secures €45.75 million. And George McCourt, who's the Head of Innovation and Enterprise at ATU, joins me on the line. George, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Keith. Good morning. Delighted to do the call with you.
Are you pinching yourself, George? I mean, ATU is one of those hidden gems, and I say that. I mean, we're lucky to have ATU and University of Galway. But you're one of those hidden gems that you just keep working away and just diligently doing stuff.
Well, indeed. Look, I mean, we had a press release there yesterday to celebrate very significant funding under what's called the Disruptive Technologies Innovation Fund. And now that's a particular fund set up under Project Ireland 2040 by the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and indeed managed by Enterprise Ireland. But critically, what it does is it allows research to work with industry to develop new products and services for the future.
George, I might get you to come slightly away from your microphone there, if you don't mind, because this is too... Just pull back a little bit. I'm getting a bit of interference there. That's much better, yeah. How will this work now? Give me a practical example of how it's going to work, George.
Yeah, so what happens is that Enterprise Ireland would put out calls for funding for Disruptive Technology Innovation Fund, and ATU has been successful in securing 12 of those over the last couple of years, totaling 46 million. So those funds have been secured by clients in the Innovation Hub in ATU. And that's the critical part here, is that 12 projects totaling 46 million to invest in different areas of technology. And if I just give you some examples of what they are. So for instance, likes of Simsys Medical are looking at solutions for what we might call fluid on the lung, or the technical term might be malignant pleural effusion. And Endowave are looking at solutions in the area of lung cancer. Or indeed, Invera Medical are looking at solutions in the area of varicose veins. So what this is a brilliant example of government funding coming down to the west of Ireland in this particular case, being won by clients here in ATU iHub, which will deliver new products and services to compete on a global scale.
And again, is this going to hold on? Is this going to copper fasten these companies to stay in Galway then?
Well, I mean, there are many benefits, Keith, for this. Like, for instance, there's very significant benefits for the startups that get these. I mean, they're very, very hard to win. They're like, you know, hen's teeth. To win these funds are very, very difficult. And each of them are a couple of million euro each. They would last for maybe 2-3 years. And they're always done in conjunction with a research partner. And indeed, some of them would be with our partners here in University of Galway. And four of them, critically, are done with the Medical and Engineering Technology Centre here on the ATU campus. But what leads from these, Keith, is products and services which end up eventually as exports onto the US market and ends up with jobs here created and maintained in the west of Ireland for products that are really disruptive. And some of them can be indeed even life-changing projects for the likes of the US.
Mm. It's fascinating stuff, it really is. Again, I mean, I suppose you also had a major announcement in the campus on Clonmore, indeed, on the Mullivier Road as well. So, I mean, it's all about innovation, George, is it?
It is. And I mean, look, just on the medical one, I mean, Galway, as you know, is one of the top medtech clusters in the world. And what this does is it's a really, really great example of, you know, government funding. And people often wonder, where is the funding going to? But it's a great example of government-targeted funding being merged with research expertise in the likes of ATU and other facilities to create new products and services. And there's no doubt, I mean, you can see the areas there that I talked about. These are collaborative projects for life-changing services in the future. And some of them would actually help to keep patients out of hospitals longer and provide services and facilities to allow these patients to be looked after in the home.
Which is really what we're trying to do, and more and more of that is being done, so it is. And technology is very much a part of that, so it is, keeping people out of the hospital.
Absolutely. And just to refer back to the crew opening there last Friday, a fantastic event on Clonmore campus. And look, loads of opportunities there for the creative technology area, again, funded by Enterprise Ireland, WDC, ATU and many other partners. And there was a huge turnout there last Friday in a beautiful new building. But what it does is it's really adding to the ecosystem here in the west of Ireland for entrepreneurship. And we need it. I mean, we need, over the last number of years, you can see with, you know, Platform 94, the Portishead, ATU, and now the crew, there's huge facilities for entrepreneurs. And they are actually creating much needed jobs and critically exports, because our own domestic economy is too small. So most projects are looking abroad.
And George McCourt, Head of Innovation and Enterprise at ATU, would you know early on, indeed, if an entrepreneur comes into your innovation centre and your hub, and would you know early on whether they're going to be a success or fail?
Well, it's a great question, Keith. And I suppose we do have another program called the New Frontiers, funded by Enterprise Ireland. And ourselves and Enterprise Ireland sit on the interview panel. So we're able to select the 15 participants. And then we do very formal 2 monthly reviews. And what I would say to you is, you're never really sure, but you do get a view, and based on what the promoter is coming back with and based on the research and the validation and maybe early proof of concept or maybe early MVP that they're building, you do get an idea. But I've often looked back over the years and saw one or two people and said, wow, look what they have achieved. When if you looked at them at the very early point, you might say, look, it mightn't have been one of them. So there's no magic formula, Keith. But what's really important is that between our New Frontiers programs and indeed our Empower program, and we have a recently launched a female entrepreneurship program called Comasu, which is 3-year funded with Udras na Gaeltachta, and that's just started last January, is that there's loads of opportunities for entrepreneurs to come to ATU, and then they can move from those if you like, entrepreneur development programs into the fantastic incubator that we have here. And indeed, this is just one of 4 campuses under the ATU.
All right, listen, well done to you, George, and well done to you and the team. How much of a crew do you have with you? Pardon the pun now with crew and Monavir Road, but how much of a crew do you have working with you in the Innovation Centre?
Yeah, well, look at this. There's 3 people here with me in this particular building, but there's a number of other staff in each of the other incubators. We have one in Mayo, we have one in Sligo, and we have one in Letterkenny. It's a vital part of the infrastructure. And again, it goes without saying, you know, Enterprise Ireland are so key to provide the funding and indeed to provide the supports. And I just want to say before I go, I want to give a word of thanks to yourself, because you've been a great supporter to GMIT and to ATU over the years. And I know that you'll be moving on soon. So on behalf of ATU, I just want to, you know, wish you the best in the future.
Absolutely. Listen, and I won't be ever too far away from you. So give my regards to Orla and the crew as well. It's you've a really a special crew, I'd have to say, in ATU, and we're blessed to have ATU and University of Galway. I really do mean that from the bottom of my heart. Listen, thanks for joining us, George, today. Quick commercial break, and we're back just after these, and we're looking at chronic pain next.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
No, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I'm joined by a physical therapist, indeed, who specialises in pain and survival brain. His name is Kieran McNally. He's based in Athlone in County Galway. And he's written a book on chronic pain, which is due to be released, and was released, excuse me, on the 8th of February. But he sits opposite me today. Kieran, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
When did you take an interest as a physical therapist in pain?
Well, I suppose I started 10 years ago, and I just started to deal with the general sporting-related injuries. But when people came to me that had pain persisting for longer than 3 months, and I hadn't been getting the results I had been when I was working with you know, general physical injuries, then I started to delve deeper into why pain is actually experienced.
And what did you find, can I ask you? And it's not a trick question, but what
well,
did you
I find? Just found that pain is influenced then more than just the physical aspects, but also the psychological aspects and the social aspects. Mm. And once I started to understand the psychological and social influences, then it kind of gave me a more of a broader understanding of why we experience pain.
And when you say experiencing pain then, I mean, can most or all pain be treated?
Not all pain, but definitely the majority of pain. There are some poor, unfortunate people that have physical abnormalities that their pain experience is so it's so part of them that it's very difficult to change. Once the nervous system becomes that way, it's very hard to change. But the vast majority of people that suffer from pain can be treated. But we have to look at it from a broad perspective. We cannot just look at pain from a physical perspective.
How do you treat it?
Well, we have to understand why the pain is there in the first place. So it really takes time. And that's the problem with the healthcare system at the minute, is that when you go to the doctor, they don't really have the time to sit down with you to really dissect exactly what could be influencing their pain. Generally, you'll just get about, on average, in Ireland, it's 14.1 minutes per patient. And really, each patient has 2.5 complaints. So that's really 5 minutes per complaint, and that's nowhere near enough time to really dissect why someone's suffering with chronic pain.
And again, it's not a trick question, Kieran McNally, but how do you determine that? Since you only get 14.1 minutes and each has 2.5?
Yeah, well, that's the studies. There was a worldwide study done, yeah, and Ireland is somewhere in the middle. The most in the world is 20 minutes, and that's the Nordic countries like Sweden and Norway. The UK is about 11.2 minutes, and believe it or not, there's places like Bangladesh that have 50 seconds per patient.
They don't have a health service then.
They don't. It'll just be.
And one could say we don't have one in Ireland, but we do. We do have one in Ireland. Come back though to the books that you wrote and the chronic pain crisis and what is pain and stress and biological and physiological and social and sleep and all of that. What type of success can you get for the patients that go to you in Athlone?
Well, I suppose really they'll get the time. That's the first thing. So I'll actually sit and listen and really try to understand why they're in pain. And then we'll take a physical examination, but then we'll also listen to what they're saying, because a lot of times they're actually giving you the actual answer. You know, they'll be telling you how they're afraid or worried you're doing particular exercise or movements. And if you have these negative beliefs or limited beliefs, then your behavior will correspond to those limiting beliefs. You might avoid certain activities that might be beneficial to you because you might feel that you're going to make things worse. So it's really about understanding how they're thinking first before we start to give any sort of a physical, let's say, recovery plan.
And again, it's not a trick question. And you might look at me and say, what's that grey-haired fella asking all these hard questions for? But what type of successes do you have?
Like as I said...
What is success?
Well, success is getting people back to doing the things that they enjoy. As I said, it's only a small minority of people that they cannot resolve their pain. Most people that are suffering from pain, they will overcome it. But unfortunately, there's the way the health system is set up, it's designed to deal with people that are suffering with acute pain. And the same approach is used for chronic pain. So generally, we need to get people back moving better more often, but you cannot force somebody to move if they don't feel safe doing the movement. So that's why it's important to educate the people first so they understand exactly what is influencing their pain.
So is it mind over matter?
That's one portion of it. But like, again, it's not a case that the pain is imagined or made up in their head. It's influenced by your psychology, of course. But ultimately, the pain is experienced, whether it's driven by your psychology or the physical aspects, it's real. It doesn't make a difference what is influencing the pain is actually there. So it's really about understanding why that person is suffering and then try to make changes. And the changes can be made through education, reducing fear, and then that kind of takes the shackles off recovery. But ultimately, what we really want is to get people moving better more often during the daytime and building resilience and strength within in themselves.
But when you say why that person is suffering, could some of it be historical? Could some of it be mental? Could some of it be a sprain that they got when they were a child that wasn't dealt with? I suppose I'm just throwing those out with you.
So all of those things. So like, let's say you sprained your ankle. Within a 3-month period, that tissue damage is going to heal. But for some people, the pain doesn't subside. And that could be due to physical inactivity, fear of movement, lack of strength, avoidance behaviours. And even though the tissue has healed, the ankle, the pain can still be experienced. And again, because the priority of the nervous system is to keep you safe. So if you don't feel safe doing that, your brain and nervous system can give you a pain experience to try and keep you away from the ankle. So it's important to really understand, again, the thought process around that person, and are they avoiding putting weight through the ankle because they don't feel safe? And then once you figure out that, then it's about encouragement, building strength and resilience on the ankle and get them using it again.
So the mind really has an awful lot to answer for.
Yeah, well, it's involved in everything. We have separated the mind and the body for some reason, when really it's just one thing. Like, for every thought you have, there's a physical reaction. Like, if you feel nervous, your leg will shake. If you feel insecure or worried, you know, you'll close your shoulders off. If you feel confident, you'll stand up proud. Again, I don't know why we've separated these things. We separated them probably for educational purposes, but really to think that they're two separate things is...
It's funny that you say that, but I was over the bank holiday weekend, I was doing a bit of work, and I have a very good pair of Wellingtons, but something got into the Wellingtons and some water got in as well. I was using a power washer, but I kept working for about another 4 or 5 hours without going in and changing it. And I found myself the next day walking funny, because I suppose from listening to you, I should have gone and changed my Wellingtons, dried them out, put on a new pair of socks and taken out the stone that was in it. Whereas my brain then developed a method of kind of lessening the pain and the discomfort. And then that changed the way I did it the following day until such time as it settled again.
Well, that's it. That process is called desensitization. That happens all the time. Like even as we're sitting across from each other here now, I bet you don't feel the pressure from your shoe around your foot.
No.
But as soon as you start thinking about that, suddenly you'll start to think about the pressure around your foot. That's because all that's happening is the nerves in your foot are sending information to the brain, and then the brain is processing that information. But it doesn't need to make you conscious about that because there's no benefit to that. But as soon as you start getting conscious about that again, it brings your attention back to that.
Where can I get further details? I mean, your book is called Pain and the Survival Brain.
Yeah.
I love the title.
Yeah, well, the book is really about, it's trying to explain to people that, you know, the reason that your body isn't breaking down on you, our brains and nervous systems, they've just developed to be survival organs. And the life now today is totally different than it was 50,000 years ago or through most of our evolution. But our brains are still in survival mode. So it's really helping people to understand that, you know, although you may be experiencing pain, your body's actually working for you, not against you.
Mm.
So the book is about our evolution, our survival mechanisms, but in this modern world.
Absolutely. So where can they get further details then? First off, your clinic, where do they get
details? Yeah, so my clinic is based in Monksland in Athlone. And my website is kieranmcnally.net, and you get the book there, but also you'll be able to get it on Amazon as well. You just type in Pain and the Survival Brain.
Okay, so Kieran McNally is your name.
Yeah.
And you spell that with a K rather than a C.
K-I-E-R-A-N.
McNally. Yeah. And can they just get onto your website?
kieranmcnally.net, and you can buy the book there, or if you want to buy it on Amazon.
I can go there as well.
Yeah.
All right, listen, good to have you in. Again, I do wish you every success with it. And for those that may be suffering from pain this morning, if they just go to your website, they can get further details there. And you do have physical sessions in Moscow.
Yeah, I have a bit of a waiting list at the minute, but, you know, if you just reach out to us, if you need any help, I'd be happy to help anybody.
And is there a telephone number they want to know?
Yeah, you can call me. I'll give you my own phone number. It's 086-733-8963, or you can email at info@kieranmcnally.net.
So let me correct me if I'm wrong here now. 086-733-8963. That's the number from there.
Yeah.
So 086-733-8963. Do me a favour, turn it off tonight, because this programme is repeated at night time. You'll be getting called. Kieran, keep up the good work, and thank you for what you do indeed on an ongoing basis. But thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck to you. Thank you indeed for joining us today. Right, quick commercial break. And we're back indeed with Music Matters indeed. So stay tuned for that. We have our Music Mornings coming the way. Stay tuned for that and more to come. A very good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
Neil, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday. And let's go to Music Mornings and came across this young man indeed. His name is Niall Callan, and he's a songwriter, and he stands opposite me today. Niall, the music has been in your blood, apparently, for a while.
Yeah, pretty much forever. My dad was a musician way back when, playing in bands, and he became head trumpet in the Ardy Concert Band in County Louth, and he got us all, five kids he had, so we had us all, he had us all in, reading music, very early age.
And, I mean, at a very young age from there then, and did the whole five of you then become?
Well, we were all in the Ardy Concert Band, and we went through that. I was in it till I was from about 10 to 17.
Wow.
So I could read music then, and got a great appreciation for, you know, how all different parts flow together and harmonies and such.
And again, you were in a totally different industry, and then you decided to leave that and go full time into music. Then that was a big decision to make at the time.
Well, yeah. Well, I did. I was a draftsman for Kingspan up until the recession, and that kind of nudged me into the full time music. But yeah, no, it was great because I was playing anyway every weekend, and I could make a living from it.
Yeah.
So that kind of. Yeah. That kind of nudged me in the right direction.
Now you go up and down the country, and you specialize, and but you write your own music. So I'm always fascinated when we talk about writing music. Where do you start when it comes to writing music?
Well,
it's not a trick question now, really.
It's a very open question to interpretation, because it's different for everybody. And I feel music, anything creative, is an expression of, you know, something you might need to work out in your own head, or, you know, yeah. And so I always found it as a form of therapy for myself.
Yeah.
You know, and people can interpret it, your words, a different way, which might suit them.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic, you know. So for me, it's always therapy to get something out, to be creative, you know, and it helps my mind process certain things.
Yeah. But where do you start? Do you start with the word? Do you start with the chord? Do you start with the thought process? It's a bit like starting a book.
Yeah.
But it's very private to you.
Yeah, well, it's I guess it's different for everybody. Sometimes you could start with chords, and then you could get a kind of a melody in your head. Sometimes you could wake up in the middle of the night with a melody in your head and rush to the phone to record it before it goes away forever. You know, yeah. So it can be like that, yeah.
Now, you have a piece of music with us today. If we can keep the noise down until then, we'll be doing fine. Mm-hmm. But you have a piece of music, so tell me the name of it, and tell me where this came from, within reason now.
Yeah.
We don't want state secrets out of this.
No, that's okay. No state secrets here. The name of the song is called You'll Need Somebody, and I wrote it at a time, like I say, I write as kind of therapy for myself. I probably wrote it at a time that I was maybe personally feeling a bit isolated. Now, you know, isolated, yeah. Myself around, you know, times some people do that, and I'd be guilty of it myself. And it was kind of giving myself advice, really. So,
but I suppose we all feel like that from time to time. But
yeah.
But then you can express it through your music, which is very important altogether. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, it is, and it's great. It's a great outlet. To have, you know, to be able to get something out there. And it doesn't even have to be something, you know, Great Expectations of anything. Just, it's, you know, it's great advice for people to just do something creative as an outlet.
Yeah. You seem very chilled altogether. So does that come with experience altogether?
Chilled?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Am I?
Well, you look chilled the way you do today. So in your own time, I'm going to try and mix it from here, so I am Niall Cannon. Mm. And then we'll have another word okay. as you finish. But I'm going to try and mix it from here. So in your own time.
Hoping we're still in the race. We cower behind our defenses, oh, afraid to let anything out. But sooner or later we're faced with, oh, oh, letting it all bleed out. Oh, 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 oh. We should know this from the start. Tough. Oh, 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 but not everyone plays their part. Oh, 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 and words are never enough. Oh, 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 oh. Wherever you go, you will need somebody. Don't close them doors. to change this. Oh, the power that rests in our hands. Oh, a chance we choose to miss. Oh, it's just not in our plans.
Some passion in that, so there was. Well done to you. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Well done. Where can I get further details on your music? Can I
ask? Yeah, well, if you go to Spotify and type in NCX, there's an album called This Is NCX, and that has that song with a full band. Or you could follow me on niall.callan on Instagram, niall.callan, and everything should be down there. So,
and how different is it doing it in Studio One like that with me and with a full band? Totally different.
Well, it's the same ballpark, but different experience.
Relevant, but
yeah. Well, you'd have a lot of like drums behind you. You'd have cymbals splashing in your ears, and you know.
And is that more motivational or distraction?
Oh no, it can be a great
very motivation.
Yeah, you can push you on, feel the beat.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Well done to you.
Thank you.
So if they want to go to Spotify, NCX.
Yeah.
If they go there, then
that's the artist.
Yeah. And then if they want to go to Instagram, just niall.callan. Niall, thanks for popping into us today.
Thanks for
having me. Lovely bit of music. And if you want to, can they get that on Spotify?
Yeah, that's on Spotify.
They get that on Spotify.
A rockier version, so some might prefer.
A rockier version than that. Well done to you.
The full band.
Listen, thanks for joining us today on the programme. That's Niall Callan joining us in studio today. Now, on tomorrow morning's programme, just to give you the heads up on that, Councillor hits out at the system for delivering housing, by the way. He said it's broken and people are not getting a fair crack of the whip. We'll be looking at that with Councillor Mike Covert. Jarlath Feeney announces he's going to be running as a candidate for the Galway City Council. Morning to you, Jarlath. Jarlath, formerly of the Chamber of Commerce here in Galway. A fundraising campaign launched for a Galway child. It really is a harrowing story Maeve Gorman indeed has been through, and again, very, very tough on her. Again, becoming the boss of your mind, how that operates from there. We go for financial advice with David McCarthy of McCarthy and Associates in Wood Quay, and it's National Cultivate Week and the 2023 Cultivate Review and Current Farming Conditions. So we'll be looking at all of that on the programme tomorrow. Again, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so to comments, comments at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments at galwaybfm.ie. Some of the comments that have come in today that I just didn't get a chance to go to today, this caller said, Deacon Keith our new factory. That's to do with the dog that's roaming out and about. The dogs, I think they're being collected in the Athenry area. But I asked what was going on next to Kevin Burke Tyres out there. And somebody refers to me as Deacon Keith. Why am I called Deacon Keith at this stage? But those two dogs, Keith, are no longer running. They've been collected, this caller said. Keith, if the doctors charged less, they would have far more patients. And Keith, my sister had an x-ray in Tuam last Thursday and it opened that day, so you can be rest assured that it's fully up and running and the people of Tuam have an x-ray facility following a long number of years. And the caller to us said here, also on Discord, just on the other side there, coming into us today, Keith, where do I get further details on the man who was on? Yeah, just again, it's NCX and Niall Callan from there. And there's a missing white lurcher went missing between Clarenbridge and Oranmore. So between Clarenbridge and Oranmore, please contact reception here in Galway BFM. If you come across a missing white lurcher, you might see him on the road or her on the road, when missing between Clarenbridge and Oranmore. So please contact reception here at 09177-0077 if you want to get further details, and we would love to try and bring the two of them back together again. That's it for today. Thank you to all involved in today's programme. John Morley, who produced, indeed Fiona, who took all of your comments, to all of our guests indeed who joined us today. That is it for Wednesday. We're back with you on Tuesday. That's it for Tuesday. We're back. We'll start Wednesday's programme tomorrow and Thursdays, and then the final programme is this coming Friday for me, and then John starts with Galway Talks on Monday, and we're all looking forward to that, so we are, and I'll be an avid listener. Well, I'm yours truly, Keith Finnegan, and all the crew, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning just after 9 o'clock. Have a good and a very safe Tuesday. Bye bye now.